Listening Library presents Dreadful Acts, being the second extraordinary adventure in the Eddie Dickens trilogy, which began with the remarkable A House Called Awful End and will be dramatically concluded with Terrible Times, all of which make up Much Silliness and A Sumptuous Feast of Listening Pleasure by Philip Arda, read for you by Martin Rayner. A message to my American listeners, because I like you. Greetings once again from across the Atlantic. The audiobook you are listening to is called Dreadful Acts and is the sequel to A House Called Awful End. Both are set in England sometime during the reign of Queen Victoria, who sat on the throne for more than 63 years, so let's hope she had a cushion, which is why some of the events or people might sound rather odd to American ears. Then again, that might have something to do with my storytelling. You don't need to have heard A House Called Awful End for this audiobook to make sense. It's a story in its own right, and I'm not sure that Awful End made a great deal of sense anyway. I do hope you enjoy listening to Dreadful Acts. I had great fun writing it. Philip Arda, 2003. Episode 1. Here We Go Again, in which a hiss becomes a boom. Eddie Dickens woke up with a shock. An electric eel had just landed on him from the top pocket of his great-uncle's overcoat. And one thing that can be guaranteed to be shocking is electricity. Eddie sat up. "What's happening, Mad Uncle Jack?" he asked, for that was the name he called the thinnest of thin gentlemen, with the beakiest of beaky noses, who was leaning over his bed.
"Come quickly, boy,"
his great-uncle instructed, his top hat brushing against the gas tap of the lamp on the wall. The eel might have had electricity, but this house, Awful End, didn't. Eddie didn't need to be asked twice. The quickest way to escape the eel was to leap from his bed, so leap from his bed he did. Eddie and his parents lived at Awful End, with his great-uncle and great-aunt, Mad Aunt Maud. If you want to find out how they all came to live together, following a series of awfully exciting adventures, though I say so myself, you'll have to listen to the first audiobook in this trilogy, called, surprise, surprise, A House Called Awful End. Now, where were we? Oh yes, an electric eel in the bed, Eddie Dickens out of the bed, and Mad Uncle Jack's top hat brushing against the gas tap. What's that hissing noise? Do you think it's important? Do you think it's part of the plot? Mad Uncle Jack snatched up the escaped eel, seemingly unconcerned as the current of electricity passed through his hand and up his arm as he popped it back in his pocket. This rather strange gentleman used dried fish and eels to pay his bills, but for some reason, we're bound to discover later, this eel was still alive and slipping. I can't really say alive and kicking, now can I? Eels, electric or otherwise, don't have legs. Eddie glanced at the clock on the wall. It said 6 o'clock in the morning.
6 o'clock in the morning! Said the clock.
An old joke, but not bad for a clock. Why was Mad Uncle Jack getting him up so early? Eddie wondered. It must be important. Then again, perhaps not. After all, his great-uncle was completely mad. Stifling a yawn, Eddie pulled on his clothes.
Hurry!
Said Mad Uncle Jack through gritted teeth. He didn't have a gritted pair of his own, so he always carried a pre-gritted pair about his person, for just such an occasion. He kept these in a side pocket of his coat, rather than in a top pocket. This was why the electric eel, rather than the pair of pre-gritted teeth, had fallen onto his great-nephew. Out on the landing, the early light of dawn filtered through the large picture window. A picture window is a big window, usually with a large enough area of glass to permit one to see a view as pretty as a picture, not to be confused with a picture of a window, which is, a picture of a window. The view from this window was of Mad Uncle Jack's treehouse, built entirely of dried fish and covered in creosote. The creosote not only protected the treehouse from bad weather, but also from the neighborhood cats, who loved the smell and taste of dried fish, but who hated the smell and taste of creosote. Some might think the treehouse pretty in the pinky early morning light. There was something quite salmony about it. That's the word, salmony. Still half asleep, which, if my math serves me correctly, means that he must also have been half awake, Eddie Dickens followed Mad Uncle Jack down the front stairs. He lost his footing a couple of times, but managed to remain upright and stumble on. The heavy velvet curtains were closed in the hallway, and it was pitch black. Pitch is a kind of gooey tar that is very, very black, so pitch black is a way of saying very, very black, using fewer letters, so long as you don't then have to explain what pitch is, as I've just done. Mad Uncle Jack found the front door by walking into it. The advantage of having the beakiest of beaky noses was that it reached the door way in front of the rest of him, so he managed to limit his injuries.
"Oof!"
he said, which is the universal noise a person makes when walking into a door, unless he or she stubs a toe, that is. The universal noise for stubbing a toe is
"Ah!"
But you can choose the number of exclamation marks that best suits.
"Are you all right?"
asked Eddie, blinded moments later as his great-uncle threw the door open wide, letting in the morning sunshine.
"There's no time to lose, boy,"
said Mad Uncle Jack, a trickle of blood running from his beak. Nose, I mean nose. The picture window on the landing looked out onto his treehouse at the back of the building. The front door opened onto the front. The clue is in the name. And there, right in the middle of the huge sweep of gravel driveway, was a hearse. A hearse served the same purpose then as a hearse serves today. It was for transporting dead bodies in coffins from A to B, assuming that you wanted the coffin taken from A to B. It might be taken from A to Z, if you asked very nicely. The difference is that hearses today are sleek black motor cars, whereas motor cars hadn't been invented in Eddie Dickens's day. For that reason, hearses were often glass-sided carriages pulled, or drawn, as horsey folk would say, by a pair of black horses with plumes of black feathers. The driver of a hearse would be dressed in black too, only this hearse didn't appear to have a driver, and the coffin was half in and half out of the back. The horses appeared nervous, skittish even, whatever that may mean, and they were shuffling their hooves around uneasily. Their flesh looked sweaty, and their eyes were wide. Mad Uncle Jack was already scrunching across the gravel. Eddie ran to keep up.
"What's happening?" he gasped. Who's died?"
"Your parents are asleep upstairs, and Mad Aunt Maud is safely tucked up in Marjorie,"
Mad Uncle Jack reassured him. Marjorie was a cow-shaped carnival float that Eddie's great-aunt lived inside, in the gardens of Awful End. If you don't know why, I wouldn't let it bother you. It won't really lessen your listening enjoyment.
"I was awoken by the sound of frightened horses, and this is what I found, a driverless hearse."
"And this is what you got me up to see?" asked Eddie nervously. "If these pitch-black,
yes, that word pitch again, horses bolted, the coffin was bound to fall to the driveway and smash open, and who knew what, or who, might spill out onto the ground."
"Indeed, I do not want your great-aunt troubled by such a sight. She is a sensitive creature, and your parents need their sleep with the busy day that lies ahead. I feel confident that, with your experience of training horses, we'll soon have this carriage off the premises."
"But I've never trained horses," Eddie Dickens explained patiently.
Living with Mad Uncle Jack and Mad Aunt Maud, you had to be patient.
"So you've lied to me all these years, have you, Edmund?"
said his great-uncle sternly.
"Next you'll be telling me that you never fought alongside Colonel Marley at the fall of St. Geobad."
I think you're confusing me with someone else," Eddie protested. "I'm only 13. Well, almost."
Mad Uncle Jack frowned.
"You've never trained horses?"
Eddie shook his head.
"And you never fought alongside Colonel Marley at the fall of St. Geobad?"
"No, sir," said Eddie. "I don't even know what the fall of St. Geobad is."
"Me neither,"
said Mad Uncle Jack.
"And there'd be no point in asking you now."
"Do you think it might have been a waterfall?" Eddie suggested helpfully.
"St. Geobad seems a ridiculous name for a waterfall to me, boy. Preposterous. I've often wondered whether St. Geobad was a church."
"A church that fell down?" Eddie mused. "But why would Colonel Marley be fighting by a falling-down church?"
"A point well made, sir,"
said his great-uncle.
"Perhaps it means fall, as in autumn."
One of the horses at the front of the hearse snorted, causing steam to rise from its nostrils, and the listener...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?